Okay.
Want to welcome everybody to this evening's Maurer Report. I'm so excited. But first, before we begin, I've got to remind everybody that the views and opinions are those of the host and guests and do not represent any networks, sponsors, simulcasting networks, or anybody else. Just remember, views and opinions. Ugh, hate saying all that, but it's cheaper than saying paying a lawyer. And if you have not been to Maurer.com, please come over today and sign up for my newsletter. You're going to get more insights from me. Less show stuff, more insights for me. Plan for 2020. That's the plan. My guest tonight is Wendy Gilhula. Gilhula. Second time, right?
That's right.
And how are you doing tonight, Wendy?
Well, I'm nervous and excited and terrified, but I am happy to be here.
Well, I promise that it will go better than some and probably worse than another.
That's all I can expect.
I was going to say, I've noticed that you've been out on the, I don't want to say on the campaign trail, but that's the only way I can think about it recently. So was that your intention to get out and do a lot of interviews about your books?
Talk about happiness and kindness and saying courage to say no to bullying and things like that.
Okay, so kindness is a thing we all need to have in our life. And I think, now, this is probably going to be the hardest question I'm going to ask you, and it's going to be a minute 40 in. That's how good this is going to go. Is does kindness create happiness, or does happiness create kindness?
Oh, I think kindness is an action, and love is also an action. So therefore, the more you practice, I think the happier you are.
What do you think? I was thinking about it as I was asking it. I think it, like, kindness, I think you have to start with a little bit of happiness, or maybe somebody will do something kind for you which will make you happy. See, this is not a good question, right? This is a trick question.
Well, is it like the chicken and the egg question?
I'm coming to that conclusion now that I've asked you and kind of put us off on the wrong foot.
Well, like, sometimes when, like, maybe I'm not having the best day, I'll just try to smile more at people when I see them. And then when I do that and I see them smiling back, it kind of puts a drop in my bucket, kind of refills my bucket. Because sometimes people, if you smile at them, they'll go, "Oh, I haven't seen a smile all day. Thank you." And then you're like, "Oh," so that kind of makes you feel good that you put yourself out there and did something kind for somebody else.
Yeah, it does make a tangible difference often if you're just put it, and what you're talking about, putting the smile on or holding the door for somebody or saying thank you. I mean it baffles me that sometimes I see people and they're just I'll say it ignorant. I was going to say something else, but I decided to turn it back cuz you're, well, I'll try to behave myself.
Because I'm,
well, you write children's books, so I'm trying to keep
it
family
right.
friendly. You know, maybe I might want to help you here in a little bit, sell children's books, so I don't want to be dropping all sorts of bad language off the top.
My life is about kids, so I do try to, you know, be an example that I would like followed. But, you know, you do you, and it's okay.
Well, I'm trying. I've got kids, so I've been trying to be better. Trying.
How old are your kids?
Well, they're at the age where they know how to swear. 11.
Oh,
and,
gotcha.
11 and 9. So there's that period of time when they're really young and they copy what you say, right? And now, And now we're reaching that period of time where, well, you say it all the time. So why can't I? So I just have to be a little more.
Well, sometimes in times of duress or stress, something will pop out of my mouth. Like, I remember when my son Connor was 2 and a half, a car pulled out in front of me and, you know, gave me a heart attack, and not literally, but, like, you know, scared. I had my two babies in the car, and my son said to me, "Mommy, what does jammit mean?" I said, Connor, we do not say jammit. We just don't say that word. and he said, why? And I said, well, I'm sorry, Mommy said a bad word. So he thought Jamet was the bad phrase. I thought, well, that's good. I'll let him keep think it's Jamet.
I thought you were going to turn the radio up then. You missed the... Okay, so let's get back to you for a little bit. Let's get back. You've wrote, I want to say three children's books. Am I correct in saying that? Because I think that's what I've seen, but...
Well, I have four out right now in a coloring book. I have three in the Pika Bunny series, and that's a learning series that the first book talks about. It's Pika Bunny and the Thunderstorm, and Pika Bunny is very anxious about every element of the thunderstorm. And then he ends up deciding he likes all the elements, so he's able to sleep during the thunderstorm. The second is Pika Bunny says, nope, the second one is Pika Bunny has a big question, where he asks Mama what love is, and he doesn't understand Mama's answer, but he realizes that he already knew what love is all along. And then my third in the Pika Bunny learning series is Pika Bunny Says Eep, where Pika Bunny helps a friend find the courage to say no to bullying.
Which I,
and that's been that's
and in
been
the
a
mugs
big
themselves,
top.
We'll walk down some of these topics here. I guess, well, the bullying one, it that's a tough issue because I think it happens. We focus on our children doing it, right, and trying to have them not do it, but adults do it too, and I think we often overlook the trauma we cause each other.
Well, I think maybe it's because it's so prevalent for the adults that we're trying to make it different for the kids. Because it's no way to live where there's bullying on social media and people being mean every time you turn around. It's not a healthy place. So I think we're trying to, or what I'm trying to do, whether I'm successful or not, is talk to children, open conversations about being kind, different ways to be kind, and find courage to say no to bullying without bullying the person who's bullying. Because a lot of kids want to scream back, and all that does is get the bully excited that he's got one more person, or she has one more person that they're bothering. And just opening up the conversations are so important right now because, you know, Generation Alpha, you know, and Generation Z, they can change things for us for the better, things that we can't necessarily change immediately for our generations or for ourselves. You know, they're our future. That's our whole investment right there.
So define those generations for me because I'm out to lunch on that.
Oh, well, Gen Z, sometimes the years vary, but I think it's 1995 to around 2010. And then Gen Alpha will be, you know, 2011 and after. And there are a lot of differences I found. Like right now I am working with a lot of Gen Z. And they are very loyal and they are interested in community and family and their grandparents. And they're just a really lovely generation. If you haven't talked to one, you know, talked to anybody or know anybody, you should get to know them because they have a lot to offer. And Gen Alpha or Gen A, some people call them, they are very ethereal. When I visit schools and I'm talking to the kindergartners, first graders, you know, usually kids want to touch you like a little bit, like maybe if they're seated on the floor and I'm standing in front of them, some of them will reach out and touch my foot. But Gen Alpha, they do it all the time. If I'm standing at the door while the kids are coming in to the classroom or to the room where I'm speaking, they will reach out and like touch my elbow or something. They're very tactile and they really, really want that connection. Just in touch and being able to speak out.
I find it fascinating because I guess, well, of course, you're talking about my children's age groups here. So this, because I find like I see kids today like wanting to be lost in themselves, but of course I'm not doing what you do either. So that's why I'm glad to have you on.
Being lost in themselves.
Yeah, like kind of wanting to be be entertained by themselves and not necessarily engage with other people, like play their video games, do their things.
Well, that's true, too, unless they have an interest. If they have a special interest in something, then they will reach out and do that. Because you have to remember, I'm a special guest. I'm not like an everyday occurrence to them. Well, so I'm sure it's with other people too.
No, it's just you. Don't mind anything else.
I was afraid of that, Jim.
No, but it is interesting that, especially you mentioned. Oh, I didn't write it down. The group in the middle there, not the A's,
Gen
but the
Z?
One. Yeah. How they're interested mm-hmm. in family, because it seems, I mean, I guess, we hear all this crud about millennials and how
right.
they're, and then you have these next two generations who are sounding so, how do I say this, opposite, not necessarily opposite, but, well, kind of, to the current generation. So is this just part of that cycle because of different parenting groups, I guess, for the lack of a better explanation?
Well, yeah, because while the millennials, they care about things very deeply, but of course not the same as Generation X, for example, because every generation is going to care about other things. So, yeah, I think millennials have gotten a bad rap. I think people are going to focus more on Gen Z, and hopefully it'll be positive and not as negative as I feel like a lot of people were toward the millennials.
Yeah, I don't understand where that rap came from.
I don't either. I have a son who's right at the end of the millennials, and he doesn't fit any of those stereotypes. So, you know, it's not every millennial is the same. And my husband teases my daughter because she likes avocados that she's a millennial, but she's not. She's Gen Z. So, it's time to... It's just time to show more kindness to everybody, I think.
So let's rewind the tape further. What made you want to do this in the first place? What got you started?
Well, what got me started was I wanted to write a story for my future children. So this is a few decades ago. And I wrote Pika Bunny Has a Big Question. But before, he wasn't Pika Bunny then. He was a different character. He was Jack he was a white rabbit with long ears. And back then, didn't have a computer, typed it out, sent it off to a publisher. Publisher sent it back to me, rejected, and said that kindness was not relevant. Yeah, I know. But this is a different time. See, remember, I'm Gen X. So I grew up with Mr. Rogers and... You know, more kindness. People held doors for each other. So I think people are starting to hold doors and open doors for people more now than they did 10 years ago. But when I got that manuscript rejection, I hid it in a drawer for a very long time because I was so humiliated and embarrassed that I wrote something that wasn't relevant. But in 2014, one of my math students asked me what I do. He goes, what do you do all day when you're not tutoring? And I thought in my mind, I was thinking, I write stories that nobody's ever going to read. But I didn't say that because, I don't want to say that to a student. And then when I'm mentoring, I'm talking to them about, going after, being brave and putting yourself out there. And then I thought to myself, I'm not being very brave with myself. I'm not very brave with my stories. So that's how I got published in 2017, was I brushed those stories off and sent them off to see what would happen for a second time. And relevant and kindness is now very relevant. So it's kind of taken off.
I don't think it wasn't ever not relevant, but I'm not a book publisher, so. I guess we take that with a grain of salt, right?
Yeah, I get. Well, at first I didn't. I should have not been so embarrassed about it. But, I was younger and, didn't know any better. And just now I just send things off. And if I get a rejection, I get a rejection. So I just try to deal with it in a more positive way.
Well, I mean, I understand that because I get rejections from guests, too. And it's like, okay, hey. I love a rejection over a non-answer. I know.
Oh, yeah,
not,
me too.
I mean, at least you know, at least you were there in front of them, and they said no. I like that a lot more than never knowing if they even found out.
Well, right, or if I don't hear from them, I might send something in a couple of weeks, and then if you don't hear of it, I'm like, well, really, it's okay. You know why I think a lot of people don't tell you you're rejected is because they're afraid of backlash.
See, I think that's ridiculous.
Oh, I do too. But, yeah, I would rather have a no right away than, yeah, no answer at all. No answer at all is the worst.
Kind of just leaves you hanging.
Yeah, and that doesn't feel very good.
So I'm going to ask you another. Boy, I'm full of these good questions tonight.
Oh, good.
I promise you I wasn't going to zing. No, I'm just sitting here thinking if you would have got picked up the first time, if you would have continued to write the other books or not, or if that first one would have been enough to fulfill the desire to write.
Well, I taught dance and I was a choreographer around at that time as well. So I was telling my stories through dance. So if the publisher said yes, I probably would have been thrilled to do a series and I would have gone off in that direction. But, you know, I just believe the timing wasn't right. And, you know, all these years later, I have a lot of time to dedicate to reading to different classrooms all over the world through Skype, which is amazing, amazing. I have like 300,000 Skype miles talking to all these different kids ranging from kindergarten age to fifth grade and just having some deep conversations that I wouldn't have been able to do so many years ago. That wasn't available. I was still typing on a typewriter, for heaven's sake. So,
now, typewriters didn't exist in your lifetime. You were just it was an early computer. Don't date yourself.
No, it's okay. I'm proud of my age. I'm going to be 55 soon, and I'm proud of that. I feel good in my own skin, so it doesn't matter how old I am on the outside. It's how old you are on the inside, I think.
This is true. I almost forgot what I was going to say, and then I quickly recovered and remembered. That was good. If you have the opportunity to read to a group of children, do it. I had the opportunity a couple of years ago, a small group of children, five or six of them. Hey, it was fun. They didn't care. I mean, I'm not the strongest reader in the world, but a children's book for a couple of kids, what, 3 to 4? Isn't that hard to do? And that made their day. I'm sure of it. Getting the guy who was, you know, not wanting to be there to get them to, you know, have them talk to me into reading a book to them. I'm sure that made at least one of their days, you know? So.
Well, when I visit schools in person, I'll read to up to maybe 80 kids at one time. And lucky for me, all my dance performance experience and teaching young kids and teaching them at that time when I was instructing dance to take 25 kids and have them move at the same exact time in the same exact way and entertain them enough to keep, you know, their attention. I'm able to keep the attention of these little learners up to, you know, 100 at a time. So some of the teachers are like, how do you keep them engaged the whole time for 45 minutes? I'm like, I have no idea. I'm just, you know, I just am me, and I ask good questions to the students, and I let them interact. And when I'm telling the story, I'm actually telling the story and not reading the story word for word sitting in a chair. I do not like to sit in the chair. I like to stand. And I like to ask questions while I'm reading and let the kids ask me back and have it all interactive, and then they're all in.
Well, I think that's the key to any group of people, right? Well, I mean, let alone children.
Yes. Well, you know, teachers like the kids to be quiet and sit perfectly still. And I'm all about, you know, let's raise our hand. Let's talk. What are you thinking? Do you agree with me? I have this little hand signal for me too, where you stick the thumb and pinky out and you shake at the wrist. So anytime I'm talking, and I tell them this before I tell the story, is that anytime I say something that you agree with or you understand about, like, especially the talks about bullying, you just do this little Me Too hand signal so that I know that, you know, we're on the same page. And as I'm talking, I'll see maybe 5 people at once, and then all of a sudden 25 people will do it at the same time. And that's how I know that we're connecting, and that's where I know to take my talks.
I never even thought about something like that. See, this is why I brought you on. I was wondering
why you brought me on.
Creating new levels of engagement. I've got to figure out what keywords to let my listeners know they're actually listening. Secret words.
Right.
So I can't show me hand signals, so I need secret words.
Well, you got to get their attention right away. So if I'm talking about bullying, the very first thing I say is, it takes a lot of courage to write a book about bullying.
Yes,
and then
does.
They're all looking at me with big eyes, like, "Yeah, it does." And it, like, what are we gonna be doing? What are we gonna be talking about? Like, where is this gonna go? Am I gonna be listened to? Like, what do you have to say?
And I'm sure that's brought about some heartfelt moments where somebody has. I don't want to say confessed to bullying, because that's not necessarily what I'm going for here, but life-changing moments from either side of that coin with students.
More adults have said that to me, but not kids.
Really?
Not kids during my time. No. So a if I go to talk to kindergartners and I say, this is yet to not happen, if I say or ask, what is bullying? Somebody will tell me, bullying is an act of unkindness. This is a 5-year-old. Done over and over and over because that person wants to make you feel bad about yourself. I'm like, what? You're 5. This is what I'm talking about, Generation Alpha. Like, they're from, like, you want to just always say in your mind, where are you from? Are you from, what planet are you from? This is like, you know, you're talking like you're way beyond your years. That's what I find a lot with Gen A or Gen Alpha.
I was going to say, that's better than I would have done.
All the time.
I was sitting here,
all the time.
I was sitting here answering the question as you were asking, and that's better than I would have came up with. And I've got a free before my age.
Exactly. Like, I didn't respond like that. You know, like, where did you learn this? From a book? From, like, did a teacher tell you? And this is just when kindergarten was, like, in September, when they're first in school. So it must be somewhere, they're exposed to it somewhere. But it's wonderful, because then they know that if they're standing in line and somebody elbows them in front of, you know, and it's an accident, they know the difference between, okay, that was an accident, or I'm getting bullied. There's no confusion if they know what the definition of bullying is.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, that is definitely an interesting thing to know. I mean, I'm still blown away. I can't imagine how you were. I'm sitting here thinking.
If you want to be blown away, you go into a kindergarten class and ask them some questions. Ask them some important questions, and you'll get some amazing answers. I have a free app, the Pika Bunny Kindness Tracker.
I downloaded it this afternoon, so I was going to get, I actually have it on my notes. So yeah, go ahead. We're right there, so go for it.
I'm fascinated.
Can we get a little bit more of an adult version? Maybe we'll just change at work to at school. I like the bunny and stuff.
There are adults who use it instead of school. They just think of it as work. Like, were you kind at work today? Did you smile at somebody? Did you give them a compliment? You know, things like that. But I made it. All right, so much to talk about with the app. The reason why I made the app, or I thought of creating this app, was I was doing a Skype lesson, and sometimes the kids are not sure if I'm a video before we start or if I'm live. So sometimes, you know, people will wave kind of on the fly in the back, and I'll wave back, and then their eyes get really big, like, whoa, wait, like, can she see me? So that's kind of fun. But one day there was a boy, and he was wearing a Kindness is Cool t-shirt. And I saw him doing something not nice to somebody. And it was before Eat came out. It was before Peaky Bunny Says Eat. That's having courage to say no to bullying. And I just said to him, I said, oh, you on the second row, what does your shirt say? And he goes, oh, kindness is cool. And he didn't get it. He didn't get, like, I saw him do something mean. And then I thought, okay, kindness is trendy right now. Hopefully it's not a trend. Hopefully it's, like, going to be life, you know, things that really happen, and it's not a trend. But how many times, I was thinking to myself and asking myself, yeah, I think kindness is great, but how many times am I actually being kind during the day? And I was taking in a tally, and then I thought, oh, how fun might that be? Because the app, you can track your areas of kindness or your acts of kindness at home, and then there's a page for school, and there's a page for your planet. And so when I first beta tested it, I realized, okay, I'm not mean at home, but I'm not showing as much kindness at home as I am other places. Like, I wasn't saying good morning very much, and I wasn't just small things that count. So that got me aware, wow, I should say, you know, good morning to my husband every morning instead of just, like, there be silence and then, you know, just talking about, like, you know, our days. Like, actually say good morning, things like that. And when I was at Barnes & Noble one day, after the app was already out there, I was talking to the kids about kindness, and I had read Peter Bunny Has a Big Question, and I'm asking, how can we be kind at home? And then let them raise their hands, and they're telling me all these different ways, and how can we be kind at school? And then when I got to how can we be kind to our planet, there was a little boy just in diapers still, and he wanted to answer, and I didn't even know if he could talk because he was so small, you know, but I was giving him the chance for him to speak, and he said, we can water seeds so they can become plants. And I'm like, what's going on? Well, I wouldn't have thought of that while I was still in diapers. So what is going on?
Yeah, I think I need to rethink the demographic that I'm interviewing from. Jeez, oh, Pete. No. Right? I mean, these kids are on it.
They are, and a lot of them have their own podcasts. Like at 8 years old, and they have their own little shows on YouTube where they're demonstrating toys and making millions of dollars. And like, where was that when I was young? I would have loved that as much as I love to perform. But, you know, go for it, little kids. Pave the way and we'll follow.
I'm just glad there isn't some video of some things I did when I was a child. Well, more so when I was a teenager, I guess, be accurate.
Well, I mean, now you're going to tell on yourself.
Well, I didn't say what.
Story. You got to tell us one story now.
Oh, I don't know. There's too many. That's the problem. There's nobody in the... Okay. I was...
Maybe somebody will call in and say something.
I was trouble. Not bad. Not hugely bad trouble. Just, you know, the... kind of goofing on people kind of trouble. The kind of stuff that would get you in trouble, but not really get you in trouble.
Okay.
You know, flying things up flagpoles. There you go.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well,
yeah.
See, now I would have loved to watch that, but I wouldn't have joined you.
I guess that's more of an Instagram thing, right? The picture of it up there. Anyways.
Right. 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 And then TikTok, the video of you doing it. To music.
That is one app I have not. You know, that's the thing. Like, well, you've probably run into this with promoting your books, right? You try to figure out how to promote it, and Instagram's still a struggle because we're sitting here talking, right? You asked about video earlier. No, I told you that I know, but here I am, you know, in this digital world. How do you promote something? But anyway, that's a whole nother conversation.
Well, I guess, or you could just promote what you're into, like. For me, I love to talk about kindness and courage, and it doesn't really have to be about books. I mean, I would love it if people purchased the books and shared with their children or their grandchildren or, you know, gatekeepers like teachers. Yeah, of course I want that. But what I want more is to promote kindness.
So what's before we forget, because we're halfway through the show right at this moment. Where can people find you in the books before, like I said, because I'll forget here in a few minutes. So,
oh, that's fine. Well, the books can be found anywhere you buy books online. So Amazon, Target, Barnes & Noble. But you can go to my website, wendygilhula.com, WendyGilhula, and find out more about me and my books.
So I'm
and
on
then get
you.
And then the oh, oh sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say there's a link to the apps. The app is available for iOS and Android on my website, and it's free. It's free because I don't want to charge for kindness.
So I'm going through the app. I've got it open here. I'm just going through some of these, and I failed at one today in a big way. That makes me not happy.
In what area?
Waiting my turn.
I did wait
my turn, but I was impatient. Is that a more fair assessment? Okay, so I'll tell the story. I'll tell it myself. I was at Walmart, the electronics department, and there's this guy, older gentleman in front of me. He was just standing there waiting. But on the screen there, it says, push for assistance, right? And mm-hmm. I asked him if he already pushed it, and he's like, no, the guy's over there helping that guy. And I said, well, maybe there's somebody else in the store that can help us. So I'm going to push it. And he looks at me and he says, you know, there's nobody else in the store that's going to help us. We've just got to wait. And bam, I pushed that button anyways. So that's just the story of impatience, right? Because I still let him go in front of me when the guy came over.
Well, I wouldn't be so hard on yourself on that. I probably would have pushed the button too, just because what if there was somebody else who could help? Or us, or anybody. That's what the button's for.
Okay.
The button doesn't say push if you're impatient.
Well, I guess I'm looking.
Push if you're unkind.
I'm looking at all these things, and it just kind of hit me. Well, I don't know. But it just kind of hit me. I was like, well, I guess, you know, it kind of felt like I was jumping the guy because, you know, he was trying to be patient and wait. And I was just like, ah. So I guess maybe that's.
But you still waited in your turn, though.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay, so
give yourself that peek a bunny point. You deserve it.
I was hoping my elders see that because he probably didn't want any part of the electronic thing.
Yeah.
I bet you.
Yes, because I think that making kids aware of being nice to the elderly is very important, because a lot of people younger than me but older than Gen Alpha. You know, of course, the older you are, they think the dumber you are or whatever. Sometimes, some of them. And, you know, we have so many experiences. That's why I'm not ashamed of my age, because I have so many life experiences, good and bad and happy and sad. But I earned all those. I earned every single wrinkle. I'm happy. I'm happy with that. I'm happy with my choices. But I think it's important to remember to be kind, especially if there are people with memory issues. And the reason why that came in is I do have that in my book where Pika Bunny is appreciating old Daniel. Old Daniel is a grizzly bear, and the grizzly bear retells the stories over and over. And Pika Bunny doesn't mind, and he gives him a flower out of appreciation and love and kindness. I have a therapy dog, a registered therapy dog who I take to, her name is Ruby Tuesday, and I take her to a retirement home, and I also take her to a high school. And in the retirement home we visit, most of her friends have memory issues. And even though we go every week or every other week, they don't remember her, even after years. And my dog doesn't care. My dog doesn't care because she knows who her friends are. She knows who wants to see her. And, you know, it doesn't matter. And being kind and patient to people is, you know, very important.
So I do have a good story here to tell you.
Okay.
So 3 weeks ago, I had surgery, had part of my thyroid removed, but somewhere immediately after then, because I went to the lab, well, I went to the lab like 4 times 1 week getting blood work done to make sure my levels were leveling back off correctly. And so I was sitting in this, the small waiting room, right? And there's this older couple on the wall, the wall that's far enough, the far wall, like, you know, 2 chairs away. That's how big this room was, right? So I sit down on the other, I sit down far away from them and, get on my phone and start, you know, doing what I do on my phone. And the old guy says, "It's interesting. I don't see too many young people stop to talk to anybody else anymore." Right? So immediately I put my phone away and say, you know what's interesting about that? Most young people of my age don't know. I don't want to say don't know how to engage with people, but choose not to. Just out of sheer bliss. And he says, "What do you mean, sheer bliss?" And I said, "We get so much stuff thrown at us all the time because of being connected like this that we don't need any more put on us." And he's like, you could tell that he was seriously. I'm like, yeah, I mean, because we are all connected to everybody now, right? It used to be you'd only hear from a friend, well, you know, like once a week maybe. Or when you were in school, like every day, but that was it. And then you went hours without hearing from them, and you had an adventure. Now you know everything about everybody all the time.
Yeah.
And sometimes you know way too much about people. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
So, yes.
So now it's kind of like,
yeah,
put the fence up and just stay back from anything else that could be a mess. And he looked at me, and he as he was getting up to go get his blood work done, he says, "Thanks for putting your phone away." And I said, "Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad you mentioned it, because otherwise, you're right. I would have just sit there and checked my email and, you know, ran down my list of things that I have to do while I'm sitting here waiting for blood work."
Well, I love to speak with people from older people, different generations than mine, because they have so many wonderful stories. I love it when Ruby Tuesday's friends decide to tell Ruby Tuesday a story, because they mostly talk to the dog, which is fine. But it's so fascinating just to put yourself back in a time where you didn't exist and try to imagine like what it was for them. What was it like for them? And so he thanked you for putting your phone away.
Yeah.
So he was actively looking to speak to you.
Yeah. Which, you know, seems surprising to me, because he was sitting there with his wife. Of course, you know, I understand there comes a time when you need an outside conversation, right? Especially, you know, going around everywhere together. But so it was interesting, because I can't imagine how many other people would have stopped and engaged that conversation.
Now, I'm sure some, they were thinking the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure some would, but I don't want to put numbers on it, because that's not fair. But I mean, I've seen enough people who are engaged in quote unquote engaged in conversation and can't look up at the person that's there that they know to talk to them, let alone a stranger.
Well, I have the opposite problem. My kids are always embarrassed because there are no strangers. If you're next to me, If you're in the elevator with me, you're fair game. I will talk to you. And most everybody will smile and, you know, will talk back, because I usually, you know, try to say something funny or entertaining or something that we just both saw, like just both experienced or something, and I make a comment about it. But I'm not one to be shy. Maybe I should be more that way. Maybe I scare people. I don't know. But it's... I love to interact with people.
As I say, no, I think we need to interact with people. I think that's we're hardwired Pardon? That way. I think we need to interact with people. I think we're hardwired that way.
Yeah, but I do get what you're saying about being overloaded with everything all the time and keeping up with things and feeling like you have to keep up with social media, or, you know, what will happen. I don't know what will happen, but something will happen, and I don't want that thing to happen, whatever that is.
Yeah, how am I supposed to, if I don't know who's, you know, what's going on, you know, if I just don't know, and then I miss something, and then I feel like I'm out of the loop. It's bad.
Yeah. Well,
I don't feel that way anymore. Although, I used to, but I don't anymore. I find myself further and further away from it. Or at least I'm trying to put distance to it.
I've made myself put my phone away when I'm with someone. And the only time I will look at it is if the phone rings. I just say, I just want to see if it's one of my kids, make sure they don't need anything. Even though they're an adult, they're both adults, you know. I like just, and then if it's not, like, I don't even look at it. Like, just, I don't look at my texts. I don't look, I just keep it my purse, or I keep it, if I don't have my purse with me, I'll just turn it upside down. And I always have my notifications off and on silent. So I can try to give my individual attention to whoever is across from me or next to me. And it's really been eye-opening. So you're, you know, at a holiday and you look around and most of the family is on the phone. Even, the, you know, older people, younger people, doesn't matter. They're on the phone or they're on a tablet. And I'm sitting there and I don't have one with me because I won't get it out during the holidays. And I just was really, really noticing how things are changing. So even when I was on my own phone, I didn't notice because I was lost in my phone. But when I made myself put it away and watch, I was really surprised and kind of sad, actually.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to do. You're going to get a kick out of this. I just, because I got, you know, you started getting so many telemarketer calls. So I decided, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just, you know, put my default ringtone as silent. Did you know? Apparently that's not an option on the Apple phone. They don't give you silence. You have to buy silence.
Well, oh, I guess I probably have mine on vibrate.
Yeah. So I wouldn't.
But then I ignore it.
I paid the 99 cents for a silent ringtone because I was so driven to have the silent ringtone, right? Some entrepreneur just made 99 cents on a smuck because he needed silence for a ringtone.
It's ironic.
Right?
That you have to pay for silence now.
The guy that produces audio is paying for silence. Anyways, but I did. And I've enjoyed it.
You like it? Okay. Well, maybe I'll get it too because I have an iPhone too.
And the thing is, now if my phone rings, because all my, you know, the other number, I've the contacts on my phone, I've put a ringtone too, and everybody else gets silence. So I know if my phone rings, it's probably, well, it becomes a screening process then, right? Everybody does that, right? They look at their phone and say, oh, Jim Mallard's calling. Nah, not today.
Yeah.
I don't have time to talk to him. But at least then it's kind of, you feel in control instead of seeing some number from wherever, California. I don't, you know, I'm like, California? Maybe I just won the lottery or an agent's calling me about a new Hollywood movie.
Again?
Yeah.
No, I know. Unlike the 70s and the 80s, when the phone rang, you jumped on it, praying it was for you. And or if you're calling somebody, you know, like, please don't let it be busy. Please don't let their mom be talking to somebody. Or, you know, I really want to talk to this friend. I really don't understand this homework or whatever it was. And just so different. And now I'm just wanting to put it away. I mean, not forever, but, you know,
now
just
it's like
put it aside.
Now it's like, do I have to talk to him? Now that's how it is now. Like you said, it used to be, oh, yeah, I'd love, you know, now it's like, ugh, I don't want to, just, no. And the other thing is, like, you look at those numbers. You know, that used to be long distance, right? You have to pay the 10 cents a minute or whatever. Now it's just, you know, you get these monthly calling plans that are so cheap you can call wherever. Old guy on a stump right here.
But it's amazing. I mean, it's good and it's bad. I mean, it's amazing because I can use my phone and I can use Skype on my phone and talk to a classroom in India or England or somewhere, you know, in the PNW or whatever. It's just so many more opportunities now, but you're right, so much more opportunity for other things that are just noise. Things that are just noise. It reminds me of, like, the Grinch. just tired sometimes. Just put it away and not worry about if I'm missing out on something.
No, I'm talking to Kat. We do. You could turn the ringer off, but I wanted to have silence and my ringer on. It's kind of a weird concept.
Wait a minute. You wanted silence and your ringer on?
Yeah, I wanted my phone to be able to ring when the important people called me. But when the non-important people called, I just wanted them not to make a noise. I guess I confused that earlier. That's why I paid for silence.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm just trying to make sure I cleaned it up for one of the chatters in the chat room.
Okay, so somebody
they're a
droid 99 cents for silence.
They're a droid person. They have their own little, you know, they love to tell me how great their friends are. But I'm kind of that old dog now, and I don't want to learn any new tricks.
Oh, I love to learn new tricks.
That's
how you should get it. But you got to scroll through the stuff you're not interested in, and then you have to like the stuff you are. So, like, I get all the videos of puppies, of little babies, of kittens. I love my feed because it's all positive, because that's what I like. That's what I click on. But you can see what the young people are interested in and what they're saying. And, you know, there's lots of anxiety with Gen Z, lots of anxiety. I never had to practice for an intruder alert once a month.
No.
I didn't have to practice using my calculator as a weapon to throw it at somebody in case they were after me or my friends. Just, they have so much more on them.
Wait.
So much more.
We're throwing calculators at people?
They're pretending to throw it, like intruder alert.
These kids need books still.
Do your kids not talk to you about that?
Well, my kids are cyber-schooled, so thankful we don't have to go through all that.
Oh, sorry. Okay, well, so sorry. Okay, well,
no.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
But the reason why I ask that is because when I have a younger student in front of me, especially elementary school, and one of them burst into tears because she was a fifth grader and she was the smallest in her class, and she was in charge of putting down the blinds, and she had had an intruder alert practice, and she said, if I don't do that, other people can get hurt. And I was like, "What? Who assigned that?" And they said, well, the teacher, because the teacher's locking the door. And I said, have you talked to your mom about this? And she said, no. And I said, you need to talk to your mom about this, because I think your mom can make it where you don't have that responsibility, because you don't need that. You're in fifth grade. Many things. Craziness.
Yeah. I had David Perodin on, Dr. David Perodin on. He is a school safety expert, and we talked about these kind of things, and horrible stuff. I mean, putting myself in the shoes of, like, myself going through that, thinking about being responsible for a group of my peers, my friends, at any point, just terrifies me, let alone young me.
Right. And I remember 9/11, where my son came out and he said, Mommy, we played a game. He was in second grade. And I said, what did you play today? And because I was already sad, and I thought, well, maybe they were trying to. He said, we played a game of let's hide behind our teacher's rocking chair. I was like, oh, my gosh. That was the first time I'd heard that. First time I was like, why are they hiding behind the rocking chair? And I thought, that's the only place they had. You know, like, that was the beginning. I remember him talking about that.
Well, let's be honest adults for a minute. Is that going to help anything?
No. I guess it would gather them together. I don't know. I need to listen to this podcast that you just told me about, because I've missed that one.
Yeah, I'll get you.
I'll
get you some links, and he's got his own show that he talks about this stuff too. So, I'll get you all that stuff here this evening. Sitting here thinking, what's the? I mean, besides scaring the children half to death, what's the end game there?
That's what you're doing, is you're scaring everybody, and then you're making them almost numb to being afraid of it. Because they start to think, well, it's inevitable. Somebody's probably going to And who is it? Who's going to go off? Who's going to be that angry at us? And they're looking around at each other. And then that makes them scared to reach out to people they don't know, because they're prepping to practice for these intruders that may probably are their peers. If there is going to be one, God forbid. Yeah.
It's horrible. And I was watching We Are Columbine the other day, and at some point the fire alarm got pulled, and so they didn't know to go because, you know, the gut reaction is fire alarm, get out of the building. But some, you know, they knew there was something going on in the building. So,
yeah,
I can't. Again, here
I don't
am
have
as,
any answers.
Here I am as I'm just saying that here as I am an adult, what, you know, understanding that situation, I still don't have. I mean, that was 2 weeks ago. I was watching that. I'm still sitting here going, I don't know what's the correct, you know, what, because, you know, there's snap decisions, right? Oh yeah, you just go for it, right? No, you know. So, and I still haven't come to my conclusion, and I don't like that. I like being able to go, let's do it. Or, no, let's not do it. And I can't, you know, and I can't imagine being, well, like you said, a five-year-old trying to make that rational decision. I mean, for understand the consequences as a teacher of taking 30 kids with you. That's more.
Yeah.
That one right there, you say that out loud, that just makes your head hurt. But anyway, so back to the app, because I'm still sitting here clicking.
Back to kindness.
Back to kindness and fun things as we try to roll and end on a positive note, they say. I see you say be brave for a friend. Now, I noticed that was because the Thunderstorm book is obviously being brave for yourself or understanding what's going on around you. But being brave for somebody else, where are you at with that? What are you thinking?
Well, Peter Bunny says eat. My friend Mary Alice said to me, when do you need to write a Peter Bunny book about bullying? And that, I was like, I can't do that. That's, you know, nobody even wants to talk about bullying. How can I write a story about it? But in Nature, the American pika, and that's my main character as a pika or a pika, you could say it either way, they say eep in nature when there's an intruder in their habitat. And I thought, what a perfect way to say no is just to say eep. And what I do is, the story goes where Pika Bunny is asking some big questions to adults, and he's in a hurry, but they don't understand what, you can't make a connection yet in the story until he goes back to where his friend is being bullied, and he applies the answers he got from the adults, and he speaks up. And he says, eep, which means no, when he sees Brutus and Goink bullying. And then because he's brave, the friends around that are witnessing, because usually when kids are being bullied at school, they're usually being bullied in front of a bunch of witnesses, right? So if we all can say, we practice this too when I'm at schools or speaking, if we can just say eep or no, and one person does it, and then five people do it, and then maybe another five people say no, then the bully can't win. The bully can't win because they are outnumbered, and all they're doing, all the kids have to do is say no. And not scream it, because you don't want to bully the bully, and you don't want to get the bully excited that he's getting you upset. But if you just say no, and we practice it, I pick a pretend bully, I pick a pretend victim. The bully says something pretend bad. And then normally the first time we practice it, everybody's silent because that's normally what happens. And I say, what can you say? And they say, oh, we can say no. I'm like, yes. Or somebody says, we can say eep. Yes, you can. So we practice it again, and then they find the courage to say no. And we practice that. They literally have to practice it because they're so stuck in the silence. But when they all were saying eep to the pretend bully usually turns their back. Like they just kind of turn their back to everybody. And I said, do you see how they reacted? They know it's pretend. It wasn't that the pretend bully was getting their feelings hurt or anything. I said, that's what happens when the bully gets overpowered by just the word no. And I've seen it happen in real life. I've seen kids say eat to each other, and it stops the bullying immediately, which I never expected. You know, I was hoping it would work, you know, in the editing process, but when I saw it really happen, I was so excited.
So are you working on another book?
Oh, of course.
sometimes that question does not go well for me.
Well, I've just finished my first manuscript on a Christmas story. It has a little twist at the end, and I'm looking for a publisher for that. I'm looking for a home for that one, and it's going to start a brand new series of Peaky Bunny and Friends. So it'll be, instead of mainly being for K through 2, it'll be for like 6 through 9. It'll be a little bit older, because the Peaky Bunny fans that I've run into have asked me if Peaky Bunny could grow older and have chapter books, and I was like, oh, that's a great idea. So that's what I've been doing the past 2 years.
It is a great idea. I mean, because I hate to say it, but I will. We all need reminded of these things now and again. Right? We all forget things.
Yes. And I hope you share the app with your kids. I hope they find some value in it.
I'm going to. I know the one will. I'm not sure about the other one, but I think
you might
that's
be surprised.
As I say, as I'm saying that out loud, you know how that all works out for me. Just because I said that out loud.
Well, there's, you know, what you can do for your planet. You can plant seeds. You can feed the birds. There's all kinds of things that maybe, you know, they've already thought of or haven't thought of yet.
As I say, I was like, especially the planet one, I was like, oh, yeah. Stuff that you know, right? Stuff that, oh, yeah, makes sense. But to actually put it in a context and actually think about doing it is a whole other thing.
And then doing it, and then actually doing it. Like, recycling is great, but how many times did you recycle today?
None.
And it's not a judgment. It's just like, it's just kind of a mirror of what your actions are.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's great to have those reminders because, recycling. We know it's great, right? But some days, you know. Okay, give your website one more time.
It's wendygahula.com. GILHULA, wendygahula.com.
So, Wendy, was it as bad as I promised it would be?
It was worse. It was wonderful, and it went by fast. Is it over?
Yeah, we got.
Oh, all right. Well, okay. Hey,
well, when the chapter books come out, right? You know where to find me, right?
Oh, I would love to be back. Is that what you're saying, Jim?
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying come back. We'll talk again.
All right, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Wendy. Have a good night.
You too.
That's what I'm saying. I am presently surprised. She's a great guest. Great person. Great soul. I love this show right now. I'm telling you, literally can... No show on the planet can do this. Probably some other shows on the planet could do this, but I love what I'm doing right now. Politics. Football coaches. Children's books. Line it up. Knock it out. Free straight guest. Top of their game. We'll be back. Hey, seriously though, if you have not subscribed to this program on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you're listening, if you're listening via podcast, take that moment, hit that subscribe button. Leave a review. Share with your friends. I'm still blown away about the listener count from last year, but guess what? I doubled down. I want more this year. So how do you get more? You have to help. That's the only way we can do this. That's what makes this show a wild success that it is. Engagement from you guys. I thank you all for doing it. But, again, we need more. I'm not going to sit here and sell you some probiotic, some antibiotic, some vitamin water, some product at this point. I'm just going to say, help me sell the show. That's what I want you to do for me in the coming year. That's more important than anything else to me. That's what I want. That's how we become a wild success. That's how the rest of this business takes care of itself. Mallard.com, subscribe, share, review, fun stuff. More coming. More coming right down the line. That's what we do around here. Keep it busy. Keep it going. And with that, good night.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.